My name is Lisa Schaefer. I'm running for Des Moines County Attorney. I am presently a private practitioner here in the Burlington area, practicing primarily in criminal defense and family law. I was with the Des Moines County Attorney's Office for approximately 11 and a half years prior to the current county attorney taking office. From there, I worked for Western Illinois University in their Law Enforcement and Justice Administration program as an assistant professor for 2 years, and then decided I missed the practice of law, so I came back. And now I've decided to run for county attorney.
Why is it that you've decided to get out of the private side and want to serve as the county attorney?
The bulk of my legal career has been in public service. I was immediately leaving law school in 2001, I was a clerk for the judges in the 7th Judicial District in the Quad Cities. I was in private practice for a short period of time. It really wasn't my calling. I had always wanted to be a prosecutor. In fact, I had interned at the Des Moines County Attorney's Office between my second and third year. And so when I realized after about a year of private practice, it really wasn't for me, I contacted then County Attorney Pat Jackson. It was one of those just timing is everything deals, and he just happened to have a position open. And since he already knew me and knew what I was capable of, he hired me fairly quickly. And then, as I said, I was there for about 11 and a half years.
What is it personally about the prosecution side? What is it that draws you that even when you were in private, when you knew that you had to get back into that?
Part of it is prior to going to law school, I actually had about a 6-year gap between getting my bachelor's degree and going to law school. And a bulk of that, I worked in victim services. I started out as a volunteer at the Domestic Violence Intervention Project in Iowa City as an overnight volunteer. From there, I worked as a rape crisis counselor when I lived in North Carolina for a couple of years. And when I returned to Iowa in, I believe, 1995, I believe it was, 95, 96, that winter, I then took a position as the legal advocate for the Family Resources Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Program. I think that's right. It was a new position. This was shortly after the Violence Against Women Act was passed. Domestic violence programs were seeing a lot more money, and they were creating new positions, and the position I had was legal advocate. So I think it was all my years in victim services, working with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and some homicide survivors, really made me want to advocate for them. The Constitution always provides a defendant with an attorney, but victims don't have that. And so I wanted to advocate for those who weren't in a position to advocate for themselves. And that's just, even now as I'm in private practice now and I do enjoy what I do, to me that is one of the most important things you can do as a lawyer, is to advocate for those who cannot advocate for themselves.
State code has a defined list of what the county attorney does. But for you, what is your definition of what the county attorney is?
The county attorney is the people's lawyer. They represent the county. Of course, you know, again, there's a litany of duties that they have, but I see the position as the people's lawyer. When I say the people, I mean the community of Des Moines County. And while the county attorney themselves may not try every case, which I can guarantee I will not be doing that, but they set policies and do other things to ensure the safety of the community and advocate for those individual victims, but as well as for the safety of the community itself.
And that's a number of times it's called also, even though some might not think of it, the top law enforcement job in the county is the county attorney. Is it that balance? I mean, is that something you see with it, that balance of legal and law enforcement side also?
I do. I think, obviously, law enforcement has their role, but I also see the county attorney working as a team with them. The job of the county attorney is to hold offenders accountable for their actions, and in seeking justice for their victims. And I think the county attorney's role in that is working hand-in-hand with law enforcement. Now, again, sometimes it may be a member of law enforcement that's a wrongdoer, and then obviously the county attorney would step aside. I do know there have been some cases that have come about in the last couple of years. It has always been my policy in a county the size of Des Moines County, where law enforcement and the county attorney's office do work so closely, and they tend to socialize, they tend to be friends. I don't feel that it's appropriate for the county attorney to investigate and review a case where maybe it's a member of law enforcement who is being, it is alleged that they've done something wrong. They are the ones under investigation. Those are something that I would forward on to someone else. I just think, even though I think I'd be fully capable of doing that in an impartial manner, I think the appearance of impropriety, the appearance of there being a lack of objectivity to the county and to the citizens is very important. And I would want to ensure that there was no such appearance. And so those are cases I would obviously call the Attorney General's office to handle. But other than that, I see the law enforcement and the county attorney as working as a team. They're going to do the, it's kind of like the Law and Order episodes, they're going to do the investigation, and then it's up to the prosecutors to hold the offenders accountable. And I guess I don't necessarily see it as an extension of law enforcement. I see us working hand in hand. We have different roles to play in the system, holding each other accountable as well as ourselves. But yeah, the county attorney is defined as the chief law enforcement officer of the county.
You mentioned it kind of, there are some cases as a county attorney, I mean, you're the head of the office, but then there's assistant county attorneys. You divide up the work. Would there be certain cases that you would want to more focus on, and then maybe other cases that you would have those in your office focus on? If you were in that role, how would you kind of divvy that out?
First of all, unlike my predecessor and her predecessor, I actually intend to carry a small caseload. So it won't be just focusing on the glamorous homicide cases, although I would be assisting with those. I would also carry just a regular caseload. It would probably be a quarter to a third of what the felony attorneys would handle. But I think it's important for the county attorney, A, to keep their skills honed. And sometimes you want to do that with some of the lower level felonies. And I enjoy being in the courtroom. So I don't want to confine it myself to just doing homicides. But I also think, given my experience, because I have prosecuted homicides, I think it's very important that the citizens of the county actually see their county attorney in the courtroom during those cases. One of my other goals, however, is to make sure that all of the assistants in the office are getting sufficient training and sufficient experience to make sure that they could handle such a case if need be. As I'm sure you're well aware, sometimes those things come in sprees. We have little waves. I know in the last few years there have been several homicides in 1 year. Homicide cases are extremely time-consuming. And I want to ensure that each of the assistants in the office has the training and the experience that if we really need them to step up to the plate in one of those cases, I can feel confident and they can feel confident in their ability to do so.
You've been in the office. You've seen the office from the outside. Are there enough assistant attorneys? I mean, are there enough people, enough staff in that office for what Des Moines County requires?
I'd love to be able to answer that question. I don't know the raw data on the numbers. One of the first things that I will be doing as county attorney is going through some of those numbers, seeing, are we prioritizing our resources appropriately? Are we spending too much time on simple misdemeanors where we're, we seem to be not enough time on major cases? So I can't really say that we have enough or we don't have enough or we have too many. I don't really know. One of the things I do want to do as county attorney to always be able to answer that question in the future is one of the things I intend to do is start collecting the data. Every month, have a report. How many cases came in for review? How many cases were charged? What were they charged with? What was the ultimate disposition? A whole litany of data points. So at the end of the year, I can actually compile an annual report. I think that's important for internally, as you mentioned, making sure we're prioritizing our resources appropriately. But I also think it's important for transparency and accountability to the public. It is the public's office. It is not a private law firm. And so I think it's important that the public have the information to know exactly what their county attorney's office is doing. And I would present that not only it would be a public document, but I would also present it to the Board of Supervisors at one of their meetings.
When it comes to, you mentioned kind of prioritizing, are we putting too much focus on maybe what some would say is a smaller case versus the more high profile? Are there certain cases that you would say, maybe these are the types we don't need to put as much? Are there specifics that you could get into at this point? Is maybe we don't need to put as much focus there if we're working on these types of cases more? Can you break it down like that?
I don't think you can, just simply because I think every case is important, at least to the victim of that case. And I'm also a fairly firm believer in broken windows theory, that you have to be handling the smaller stuff and holding the people accountable for the smaller things in hopes that you deter them from going further and you know, fostering their criminal career, for lack of a better phrase. So I do believe that all cases are important. It may be a question of, is there a more appropriate way to deal with those cases? I'm a strong believer in diversion programs. Do we need to be taking simple misdemeanor or serious misdemeanor possession of marijuana to trial? Or is there a good diversion program that we can be using to deal not only with holding that offender accountable for breaking the law, but also maybe diverting them from whatever substance abuse issue they may have? So I don't know that it's necessarily saying these are cases aren't as important or we shouldn't be focusing as much attention. It's how can we maybe prioritize and maybe get different outcomes so we don't see the same people coming through for the same things over and over and over again.
Would that be working with maybe the jail? I mean, Lee County, Des Moines, the jail diversion programs, working with mental health, kind of seeing your office working more closely with those types of offices to have that prevention. If this person, maybe this person isn't quite a threat, got in trouble, let's see if there's another route.
That's exactly it. I would like to see us, when I say us, the county attorney's office, take a more multidisciplinary approach, whether it's working with law enforcement, whether it's working with mental health, whether it's working with the education system, utilizing SCC when appropriate. I would like to see the county attorney's office take a much more leadership role in having a multidisciplinary approach, especially to things such as substance abuse, youthful offenders, mental health offenders, who may be, usually what we see with mental health offenders is it's usually mental health and substance abuse together because they sometimes self-medicate. I would like to see us take a much broader approach with various agencies. I don't think some of our problems in the criminal justice field are those that can be solved just by the criminal justice system alone. And I think it's important for the county attorney to take a leadership role in seeking out how we can utilize those other resources from other agencies and other disciplines to get a more all-encompassing approach in how to deal with some of our problems.
You've been on both sides of the spectrum. You've the prosecution side, you've been on the defense side. One of the biggest issues that always comes up, and one of the things that always comes up when if a case is plea bargained, lesser offenses, no jail time, this and that seems to really get more attention than anything else. How do you approach those situations? How would you look as county attorney at those types of situations where maybe a plea is required or maybe I would not want to plea this type of case? How do you approach cases looking at that?
I think I'll draw on my experience as a prosecutor. Some cases that we consider more routine, say a driving while barred, you're generally going to have an idea of this is usually the plea offer I'm going to make for a first offense, a second offense, a third offense. But I still think you need to take each case on its own merit. And I'm a strong believer that plea agreements are a necessary evil. I know I've gotten a lot of questions during the course of the campaign about community dismay at plea agreements. They are a necessary evil. I don't think anyone would want to see what their tax bill would look like if we went and tried every case. But I think it's important for each prosecutor, and again, this goes back to wanting to mentor and train those prosecutors, to best decide, is this a case that when you are seeking your ultimate goal of doing justice, which is the goal of a prosecutor, is a plea appropriate in this case? There may be evidence concerns. There may be witness concerns. I had sometimes, I prosecuted a lot of the sexual assault cases. I had victims sometimes or parents of young victims. They are not going to trial. Figure out how to make this go away. So it's not ultimately always the prosecutor saying, let's just plead this out. I think you have to dare to be great sometimes. There are some cases that are appropriate for trial. And I hope, if I am elected county attorney, to foster an environment where I have assistants who know how to do that and when that is appropriate. And so I draw on my experience of having done it. There are some cases where, a plea is just, it's the wisest course of action, especially if you have a defendant who's willing to admit guilt and, just do to me what you need to do to me. Let's make it mutually agreeable. those are the kind of cases where, okay, let's give them something for them agreeing to hold themselves accountable to a point. But for those that don't, or those who are extremely violent offenders, or who are long-term repeat offenders, who just, you know, have that mentality that I commit crimes to survive, or I commit crimes because that's what I know how to do, sometimes you just have to take those to trial. And I hope that I would know the difference, and my goal would be to be mentoring and giving that experience and training to the younger assistants so that they know how to do that as well.
Is there a crime, not even a specific, like here's an example, but is there a crime where you could say, there is no way I would want my office to even consider a plea? Can you get to that point, or is that too difficult a point a specific to make?
I think it's very difficult to say a specific case. Obviously, if you have sufficient evidence to prove a premeditated and deliberate murder, that is not a case where you should necessarily be offering a plea. But if there is question, what I used to present to victims when we would discuss, sometimes with a plea agreement, one of the biggest advantages of them is certainty. And so if you have sufficient uncertainty about a case, you know, you might feel better knowing, okay, I got 50 years instead of life, but at least I know I've got the 50 years. But if you're confident in your evidence, if the investigators did a good job with their investigation, you're confident the evidence will prove them guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, I see no need not to go to trial. Those are the kind of cases where you should go to trial, where you're confident in your ability to win. Again, sometimes there may be victim considerations that I think is important to take into consideration. But I think it's hard to just say that this is the one case where I would never do a plea agreement, because each case, I know when other attorneys, you know, will say, well, it's just a regular run-of-the-mill this case. I found in my 11 and a half years, there is no regular run-of-the-mill any case. Any given day, one of them will present a set of facts that you have never seen before, and you really have to be creative in how you're going to handle it. So I think it's very difficult, if not impossible, to say this is the one case where I would never do that. But I'm pretty confident if the evidence is strong and everyone is on board, those are the cases you should be going to trial on.
You raised a couple of interesting things involving the public, and I want to touch on those real quick here. When it comes to the perception, and if a plea is done or if a sentence is done, and then the backlash that comes from it on social media, how do you respond to that? How would you respond if all of a sudden everybody is saying, how could they let that happen, or how could they do this? What would your approach be in the coming days and weeks?
One of the things I do want to do, as I mentioned before, is increase the transparency of the office. I obviously, I look at social media every once in a while. If someone truly has an opinion that they want to voice to me as the county attorney, I would encourage them to come in and talk to me. So that would give me the opportunity to explain to them why the decision that was made was made. More often than not, people will understand. I think sometimes when you get only a set of partial facts and you come to a conclusion about what has occurred, it could be erroneous. And I also recognize that as county attorney, I am not going to make everyone happy all of the time. There's always going to be a case that someone's upset about. As an attorney, I understand that. Anytime you walk out of the courtroom, there is one happy person and there is one unhappy person generally. And so I recognize that there's going to be people who don't like the way a particular decision was made. I would encourage them to come in and talk to me. I would be happy to explain them why the decision was made. It may be just information that they have no idea about. And I think that's important. I want the office and the county attorney specifically to be accessible to the public. So, because again, I regard the county attorney and the prosecutors as the people's lawyers. And I think we are ultimately responsible to them. And I think if they have questions or concerns about the way a case was handled, they should have those addressed.
And then speaking of the public, and it's something you mentioned earlier on when there's not enough evidence or you didn't have a witness. I mean, you hear of such and such happened and no one came forward. How do you build up that support and help in that process of encouraging people if they see something to come forward? How would you, as in that role, work on that?
One of the things I think is important will be to increase transparency in the office. I think as the community feels more comfortable that we as an office are willing to hold ourselves accountable in the same way we would hold an offender accountable, I think that will increase trust within the community. Once you start building that trust, you'll see that witnesses who maybe in the past didn't want to come forward will be more encouraged to do so. I think that's something that the police department and the sheriff's office and law enforcement in general, they're all trying to work on, is increasing that trust relationship between the community and the law enforcement and the criminal justice system in general. And I think the county attorney's role in that is, again, increasing that transparency, making themselves accessible. If the public trusts the county attorney and that they trust that they feel that they're doing the right thing, or if they're doing something that they don't agree with, but they know they can talk to them about that, that will ultimately, I think, lead to people being more comfortable with coming forward. I think for more often than not, I think a lot of the issues with people not coming forward, I think it's just a lack of trust in the system in general. And I think it's going to take a tremendous amount of work from law enforcement, the county attorney's office, and the criminal justice system in general to build that relationship with the community so that when people do see something, they're comfortable and confident in saying something and that something will be done.
We mentioned early on that the county attorney has different roles. I mean, we've really focused on the primary that everyone thinks of, the prosecution, civil, criminal cases. But you're going to be asked to do land disputes for the county and zoning. What type of experience do you have in those realms? I mean, is that something you'll have to brush up on if you're elected to this position?
Clearly, because generally the only one involved in that is going to be the county attorney. So that is something that I will be having to learn. I mean, we call it the practice of law for a reason. No one is an expert on all facets of it. But that is something. And also, again, I would have an assistant, or at least one, if not more, who would also, as I'm learning it, they'll be learning it as well. So if it's a situation where I'm simply unavailable, we have someone else in the office who's comfortable handling those sorts of situations. Even when you're in private practice, you may get a call on the phone and somebody has a question. There are many times where you'll say, you know what, I don't know. I will have to look that up and I'll get back to you. I'm not afraid to say I don't know something. I'm not going to pretend that I know all aspects of zoning law. I don't. But I do know how to research the law, and that is something I'll do.
Any other ideas, any other policies that you would promote? If we've touched on so many of kind of the in the courtroom. And so, any other policies, ideas you have that if you were elected that you would look to implement?
Oh, I probably have a list. One of the things that I've really been interested in since I was actually at the county attorney's office as an assistant is working with the Department of Correctional Services and the court system. I would like to see the implementation of a youthful offender court. We have a lot of offenders, especially of property crimes, who are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Even the United States Supreme Court says you're not fully an adult until you're 26, I believe was the age, that your brain is still maturing. And I've always felt that we can't have a one-size-fits-all probation system. And I do know that the 8th Judicial District does have a drug court. I do know that so far it's been pretty successful nationwide. Drug courts, mental health courts. There are some states that have veterans courts. Have been pretty successful. And when I say successful, recidivism rates are lower than in general, and also they have reduced costs significantly for the criminal justice systems. I would like to start exploring the idea of a youthful offender court, where we have those young people between 18 and 21, 22 years old, who are obviously have aged out of the juvenile system, but probably aren't what we would consider a hardcore criminal thinker. And I would like to work with the Department of Corrections, the Department of Correctional Services, the court systems, in trying to create a court that deals specifically with the issues that young people deal with. I think if we could do that, we could maybe keep some of those people out of the system before they work their way into it. I would like to incorporate a lot more restorative justice principles, community service. And when I say community service, I mean it a little bit differently than picking up cups after steamboat days. I mean community service in maybe you burgled someone's house. Okay, well, now you're going to mow someone's lawn. I think as communities start to get to know one another, they start to build a relationship. And so if, you know, some say we have an 18-year-old kid who burgled an elderly woman's house, and now he has to mow her lawn the rest of the summer, he gets to know that woman. So maybe the next time if he's with some friends and they say, hey, you know, let's go burgle the old lady's house, he's going to say, no, I know her. We don't want to do that. She's a really nice lady. I think we could do that in a youthful offender court. But it's something that I was kind of exploring. And when I say kind of exploring, just brainstorming ideas with some people from the Department of Correctional Services. But that is something that has always been in the back of my mind, is something that I think could be a really, really good thing for the community.
Is there a question that I haven't asked you that you really wanted to answer today that I haven't thought to ask you? And what would it be in such?
It surprised me that you didn't ask the question about, because my husband is a law enforcement officer, I think the number one question I've been asked is that a conflict of interest? I actually vetted it with the Attorney General's office. Surprising even to me, it's not all that unique of a situation. There are probably a good half dozen to a dozen situations in the state of Iowa alone where prosecutors are either married to or living with a law enforcement officer in their community. I was married to my husband when I was at the county attorney's office, and we had a system for anything that he may have been a witness in, I did not handle in any way, shape, or form. In the practice of law, we call that a Chinese wall. As far as a conflict, I don't see it when we're on the same side. We're privy to the same information. Generally, when we think of a conflict of interest when it comes to the practice of law, it's people on opposite sides, information that I would be privy to from the other side that I normally would not have had any access to. That's not the case. And second of all, he's an administrator for the most part. It's not the typical situation that he's ever a witness in anything. And I will go back to what I said earlier. And if it's a situation, whether it be he or anyone else in any of the departments in Des Moines County, if they are the subject of an investigation, that is something that I would call the Attorney General's office immediately, whether it be him or anyone else, just simply because, I think that goes to that trust with the community. Even though I feel I could do it, I would do it impartially. I think there's always that appearance that I know people would have of, well, you know, she's married to a cop, she works with cops, she works with these cops. Yeah, I do. And so I think that's appropriate to go elsewhere.